Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoot, star! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Zamula, who has an assist, shoots it toward the net. Stick save made by Georgiev. Fed in front, they score! That was a centering play by Zamula from the corner on the rebound of his own shot, and it went off to defense, I think, or somebody in front, and deflected up top, and it is a 4-0 Flyers lead. That could be Zamula's goal.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. No desperation, and now you're seeing teams that are finding their identity in the league. Earlier on, I think we were probably catching teams by surprise. Now teams are this is full go. We're into almost January now. Every night's going to be a dogfight. Every night's going to be we're going to get teams best because they're fighting for playoff spots. They're fighting for spots, you know, in their division standings, wherever it might be, and we have to realize that.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and happy new year. I do not know what happened to the San Jose Sharks right now, but I am really, really ready to classify that as a product of 2024. And you know what? That year is over with. So now let's talk about 2025 and everything that comes with it. And no, that's an over-exaggeration. The Sharks are still going to be on Thursday very much what they were on Tuesday, very much what they were on Saturday and on Friday, and we go back and back and back and back. And I'm not trying to pile on San Jose right now, but I guess my point is that 2025 doesn't change a lot in terms of the wins and losses and what we can expect from the Sharks in the near future. Now, I have to admit, considering the way they played over the month of November, that I was expecting more out of them in December, but tight losses do not give you points. Occasionally, if you get to overtime, you get one, but regulation losses, whether they're by one goal or by five goals, they pretty much end up with the same meaning when all is said and done. Granted, there is not as much of a demoralization going on with San Jose as there was in previous seasons. It's still painful to watch the team come up short. It's still painful to lose this many games. When you're in the midst of an eight-game losing streak, which is their second longest of the season, it's not fun, and you expect more from the team. We have seen the team do more, and we're all trying to figure out what exactly is going up wrong with the team right now, because even though Georgiev wasn't perfect last night, I do not think he was the problem. Even though the Sharks were, you know, relatively similar to what they could do against Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia looked like a significantly better team. You know, a lot of the things that I saw on Monday at practice where the team looked like they were really ready to jump out and really ready to have a good game, a lot of that was not evident on the ice on Tuesday night. And I think that's probably the most frustrating part about all this, is that you saw a Sharks team on Monday that looked like they were ready to take a step forward, that looked like they were sick and tired of all the losing. And my take has been for a long time that you have to get sick and tired of the losing. And I thought the Sharks were like that on Monday. I thought they were tired of hearing about how the team was losing better. I think they acknowledged that they have been playing some good hockey, but playing good hockey is not the same as winning, and they wanted to win. They wanted to be able to take those next steps. And unfortunately for San Jose, you see them take a big step backwards on Tuesday night where they just did not have energy from the get-go. And I'm really not sure why, because they had such good gumption and really a lot of bravado about them at practice on Monday, and none of that showed up the minute the puck dropped on Tuesday night. They were flat out the gate. They did not have a great response. They did not have a great plan B when plan A wasn't working, and they just saw Philadelphia consistently take control of the game, and San Jose just almost fell into a passive mode. So, you know, right now, I think the Sharks are just kind of having one of those moments where they thought they had moved beyond this. They're looking at themselves in the mirror, they're gripping a little bit, and they have to figure out how they're going to get out of it. And I wish there was some sort of an easy answer. I mean, I could tell you that I would like the forechecking to be more aggressive. I could tell you that I would like them to be more physical. I could tell you all sorts of things, but it's on the Sharks themselves just playing a better game start to finish. That's really what it comes down to. They have got to be the better team. They have got to be just the more complete team. They've got to do everything. And while the Sharks don't have to be as perfect as they were previously to win a game, they've got to be pretty darn good. And that is on them to be a pretty darn good team. It's not on anyone else. That's specifically on them to play a better brand of hockey, to be able to give themselves the opportunity to win. We saw themselves play that brand of hockey in November. And while the Sharks were not perfect in the month of November by any means, you saw them as a team that was coming together. And since the trade of Mackenzie Blackwood, they really haven't been the same team. And I worried about some sort of a demoralization, but you know, at the same time, these are professionals who knew what they were getting into and understand that, you know, in this game where the Sharks are, the guys could be traded. They've got to be able to move on from it. Yes, I know Mackenzie Blackwood was a big part of the team. I know that he was a very, very good goalie, but you've got to be able to move on from it. You've got to be able to put yourself in a state of mind where these outside noise type things are no longer a problem and you're able to take the next step. Because there is always going to be noise. I mean, no matter what, even the best teams in the league, there's always talk and chatter coming from the outside. And for the rest of the year, there is going to be talk about the Sharks and who is going to be going as we approach the trade deadline or as offers come in. I mean, Mike Greer essentially said that he got an offer for Mackenzie Blackwood that he could not turn down. And that essentially tells me that other teams are going to be coming to Mike Greer with offers that they can't turn down. I mean, I'm sure there are other teams that wish they had a Mikael Granlund on their team. Now, Mikael Granlund maybe not at his best in the last 8 games, but I'm sure there are a lot of teams that would like to put him in their lineup and, you know, see what he could add to what they're doing. I think you go down the list, there are a number of players on the Sharks who are, you know, established veterans in the league that people are going to say, yeah, we could make something with that on our team. So this isn't over, I guess, is my point. The things that the Sharks are going to be dealing with or have been dealing with, it's going to continue as we get deeper and deeper into the season. And it's just a factor, a part of life in the NHL. There is always outside noise. There are always going to be things that distract you from the task at hand. Injuries are an issue. Storylines are an issue. There's always something that comes up. It's never just your complete team, and that's what you run from start to finish, and you end up with the Stanley Cup. It's much more complicated. It's much more difficult than that. All that said, they need to figure out how to put this at an end because they are better than what they've been showing, and I think that they know that they deserve to put on a better show for their fans at home, and so you hope they can figure it out sooner rather than later because, yeah, I don't think any of us really saw this coming. I was not expecting the Sharks to, again, you know, flirt with a double-digit losing streak, and yet here we are. And yes, they have been close in a majority of these games, but that's, again, that's not what this is all about. You either win or you don't win. You have the win or you have the overtime loss or the shootout loss, and both of those are not as good as a real win. So the Sharks, they've got to figure this out right now. But I could belabor the points over last night's game over and over and over, but we all saw it. It was an ugly game, one of the more ugly games we've seen the Sharks play this year, and yes, it wasn't like the blowouts they've suffered to Winnipeg and or Vegas or Tampa, but it wasn't good. It just wasn't a great performance to them. But I would like to talk a little bit about the 2024 year that has gone by. You know, I look at everything that happened in 2024, and I said a while ago that I think November 2024 was a month that we will point to where things really started to change, and I still believe that is true. But I think we can look back at everything that happened in 2024 for this team, whether it is the day that they pulled the number one overall draft pick in the draft lottery, whether it is the hiring of Ryan Warsawski, whether it is the drafting of Macklin Celebrini, whether it is, you know, whatever you're going to go down, these are all big, big moments that we're going to be pointing to in the future for the San Jose Sharks. And I think that's my big takeaway is that, you know, we looked at what Mike Greer was tasked with when he took over as the team. His first moves, the big moves, were the trade of Brent Burns, the trade of Timo Meier, the trade of Erik Karlsson, the trade of Tomas Hertl, the acquisition of Jaroslav Askarov, the drafting of Will Smith and Quentin Musty and Macklin Celebrini and Sam Dickinson, deciding to go away from David Quinn and bring in Ryan Warsawski or elevate Ryan Warsawski to the position of head coach. These are all moments that we're going to point to in the 2024 year. I guess not the drafting of Quentin Musty and Will Smith, but Will Smith got his big opportunity at the NHL level in 2024 alongside Macklin Celebrini. I mean, I think for a while we saw the plan and now we're seeing the results, right? We have been able to see what Macklin Celebrini is capable of doing. We've been able to see what Will Smith is capable of doing. We've been able to see Yaroslav Askarov. We've been able to see more of Shakir Mukhmudul, and we've watched the San Jose Barracuda take a big stride forward and turn into a contending team in the American Hockey League once again. And I think that's what everyone wanted. We wanted strides to be taken. We wanted to see signs of improvement, and we had to go through some ugly times. I mean, the trade of Tomáš Hertl, I know a lot of people who were upset about that and, you know, told me as much in person or over social media, and I understood it. Tomáš Hertl was a very lovable character that had been a big part of the San Jose Sharks, and you hope that he could help get you through to the other side. But I also understand why Mike Greer felt the need to move him and his contract, because his timeline didn't exactly line up with where the Sharks were. And it turned into Yaroslav Askarov, which I think was a great get for Mike Greer and this franchise. But that didn't mean that these weren't moments that everybody paid attention to. And, you know, you knew it was big when they traded Tomáš Hertl. You knew it was big when they acquired Yaroslav Askarov. You knew it was big when they hired or when they drafted Macklin Celebrini. You know, when you saw Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith out there in 2024 for the first time, these are big moments that we're going to be able to point to in the future. And I think that's what makes 2025 so intriguing, because 2024 across the board was such a momentous year. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to San Jose for the rest of this year. I would imagine that, you know, this 8-game losing streak is something they're all sick of right now and trying to figure out how to end it. But it's also part of what's probably going to make them better in the future. And I know that, you know, when they were flirting with the playoffs after the month of November, when we were all very excited, which isn't to say they can't get there once again. All it takes is a win streak and things change in the NHL rather quickly. But, you know, I think that there were a lot of fans who thought, okay, are they doing this ahead of schedule? Are they a team that is, you know, going to be that much more in the conversation? But, you know, they need to draft more players. They need to acquire more talent. As much as we love some of the players that are there right now, they might not be with this team when they are back in the playoffs, when they are, you know, getting ready to contend once again. I think Mike Greer knows that he is dealing with a couple of things simultaneously. One is the fact that he is developing talent, and some of that talent is developing faster maybe than expected. But on the other side of that is fans who are expecting him to try and put free agent talent around those fans and give them a better product out there on the ice. But at the same time, you don't want to overinvest and not have the funds available when you need to re-sign Macklin Celebrini, when you need to re-sign Will Smith, when you need to have money secured for Yaroslav Askarov. I mean, these are the problems that the Sharks are, you're happy to have these problems, to have payers that you've developed that you need to pay, but these are parts of the future that are coming for the Sharks. And so I know everybody looks at all the cap space and says, oh, well, they'll be able to do X, Y, and Z, but it's like, well, hold on. They do have players that they're going to have to pay in the future as well, but you want to be able to develop these young players. You want to be able to bring in free agents. You want to be able to have the Sharks move into that contending window. And so again, Mike Greer is looking at the impatience from the fans. He's putting that against the rate at which players are developing, because I think he's probably going to get into a situation where he feels like, okay, can I get some good players on some short-term deals to bolster what's going on here in San Jose while not hamstringing myself for the future? I think that's the hardest thing that Mike Greer has to deal with, because again, we have in 2024 been given such an intense view of the future. I mean, even in that loss last night, you saw interplay between Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini that is abnormal for players that young in the NHL to be able to do. I mean, you just saw them making passes, creating opportunities. It might not have found the back of the net, but I still think that the ability to create opportunities for you and your teammates is going to give you great ability in the future when they are more experienced. You know, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, you know, they're half a season into their rookie seasons into the NHL. This is not what they are going to be. They are not complete products in any way, shape, or form. But the extremely incomplete products that they are make everyone look like, holy Lord, are you serious? Do you see what's going on in San Jose? And I would think that I am not the only one that watches these guys play and thinks, wow, there is something very, very good going on here. And we haven't even seen Quentin Musty yet. We haven't even seen Sam Dickinson yet. We've only seen the two first-round picks from the last 2 years. That gives me a lot to be excited about. Colin Graf was an underrated acquisition for the Sharks in 2024 because he was undrafted and ended up growing 5 to 6 inches and looking like a completely different player than when he was draft eligible. But he's a player who I imagine the Sharks are going to give a look to very, very shortly because the offense isn't producing. They are dealing with injuries like William Eklund. And right now you've got to figure out how you can spark something to get going for this team. And Colin Graf, with the way he's been playing at the American Hockey League level, I would imagine they want to see more of him at the National Hockey League level. And I think that's great. I think you want guys to play well enough at the American League level that they can be brought up and expected to contribute at the NHL level. I mean, we saw Ethan Cardwell come in. He produced. We have watched other players like Yaroslav Askarov and Shakir Mukhamudulin be able to come up and be contributing members of the San Jose Sharks. Because at some point, all of these prospects, they have to be put to the acid test of the NHL reality, and we have to see what they are. Now, Mike Greer understands that not every single prospect is going to pan out. If they all do, then lo and behold, that is a phenomenal problem to have, that you should be able to, you know, just make your team as good as possible with all the players that you're apparently better at drafting and developing than everyone else. But that's not how it works. So Mike Greer knows that another year like this year where the Sharks are in contention for lottery picks will allow them to stockpile that much more talent, will allow them to bring that many more good players into the system, will allow them to have that many more options in terms of how they want to use those draft picks. It's all a part of what San Jose is trying to develop right now. And again, it's the impatience that we all understand, and it's also Mike Greer going according to his plan, because I know fans in San Jose, you know, it's been since the spring of 2019 since the Sharks were in a playoff position, and right now everybody's eager and anticipating more. So it's tough because another 8-game losing streak makes everyone feel like the end result of being a contending team is very, very far away, when it felt like a month ago the Sharks were ready to take that next step. The trade of Mackenzie Blackwood changed things for San Jose. I won't deny that in the slightest, but that doesn't mean that if Mackenzie wasn't here, the Sharks may have lost 6 out of 8. And yes, you can say that 4 more points on the table would make things different, but the fact of the matter is it was highly unlikely that the Sharks were going to be in the playoff picture this season. I don't know exactly what they have in store for next year, but I do know that San Jose is going according to a plan that Mike Greer has them working towards, and it appears to be the right one. Macklin Celebrini is a next-level talent that I think is going to make players want to play in San Jose. When you take the next step from there, getting free agent talent, getting players becomes that much more easy, and also you elevate everybody else out there on the San Jose Sharks because Macklin Celebrini is the type of player who makes other players better. And I also think that Will Smith could be that type of player as well. He's just so young in his career. And I think you've got to give these guys time to grow and turn into players that I think we all know they are capable of being. Everyone is impatient right now. We all want to see the outcome, but right now we are still in the midst of what some would call the process of getting the Sharks back to a contending level. We do have some interviews to get into with both Jan Ruda and Will Smith that I wanted you to hear, but the other thing that I think is important to note about the Sharks' 8-game losing streak right now is that they are without Jake Walman and William Eklund, which is definitely having an impact. And I know that the Eklund injury is more recent, but I do think it speaks to what Mike Greer and his staff were able to find in terms of players, because Walman was a guy who was not exactly highly touted, but as soon as he had the opportunity to have more ice time in San Jose, he started looking more and more like a player. That's exactly what Mike Greer wants to be able to do while he is still trying to develop talent. It's not just about the players that he drafts. It's about the players that his staff identifies and thinks, yeah, if we bring that guy into San Jose, if we give him more ice time, if we try and use these aspects of his game, we can end up with a better outcome. And for me, that is phenomenal. That's exactly what you want. It's not just about the players that you draft. It's about finding other players that are maybe not as much of a fit in other teams and make them a fit for your own team to maximize what you can do with your team in the near future. And I think as we see more of that, we might see even more change when we are talking about 2025 on the first day of 2026. Because right now the outlook for the San Jose Sharks on January 1, 2025 is vastly different than it was on January 1, 2024. We did not know we would be drafting Macklin Celebrini. We did not know what was going to be coming next for the San Jose Sharks in terms of their head coach. There were so many unknowns at that point that are now relatively known quantities that it almost makes you feel like it's even that much more that you don't know about the realities of right now, because we're going to learn a lot between today, January 21st, 2025, and then January 1st, 2026. All right, I did want to get into these interviews. First, I spoke with Will Smith.
All right, we are here with Will Smith at the San Jose Sharks as we get ready on a Monday ahead of Tuesday's game against Philadelphia. First off, man, how's the holiday season been treating you?
It's been good. It's been fun to spend some time with family, and love Christmas, so it's fun.
No, it's good. Does your family have any traditions?
Bunch of family parties and just some Christmas games, so it's fun to be part of.
Nice. It's been obviously kind of a wild ride for you, really dating back to the summer with the juniors, and then you obviously had the development camp, and then you had the rookie face-off training camp. It's been kind of a run for you. Did it give you, on that 2.5 day break, because I know you guys got in late after the Vancouver game, did you get a chance to take a breath?
A little bit. I mean, Christmas is my favorite holiday, so nice. Just kind of a little bit of a reset, to get settled down and get 2 days off. It's nice, because it's kind of been a whirlwind.
Yeah, it has, most definitely. How do you feel about your game right now, man? I mean, you obviously get a lot of focus being one of the young future members of this team, but I mean, you're scoring goals, you're getting points, but your own view of your game might be different than mine.
I think as a team, obviously we want to be better, close out some of these games, but personally I think I've been playing good, keeping my feet moving more, that more chances will come, and obviously playing with the Max has been fun, and try to create as much as we can.
Nice. Yeah, it is fun watching you two guys together, and I think it's cool. A lot of people appreciate that you guys seem to be having fun out there together. So I have to ask, whose idea was it to recreate the video between LeBron and Dwayne Wade?
Well, we were playing basketball for about 3 hours, and then things led to different things. We saw that video and thought it'd be funny to recreate.
Now, you've got the baseball background, so that leads me to believe that your jumper might be a little better than his. But he spent a lot of time around NBA guys, so.
Yeah, he has. I don't know what the series was, and we played, I think, 10 games of 21 or three-point contest, so it's pretty even.
But you were keeping score somewhere in the back of your mind.
Yeah, we both were pretty competitive.
Nice, man. What's been the biggest adjustment for you to life in the NHL?
I think the grind of the schedule, to be honest. These 15-day road trips and back-to-backs, it's obviously tough on the body, but taking care of yourself and treatment is what you really need to do.
Yeah, but it's got to be nice, though, that you're at a point in your life where you now get to have that 100% focus, where, as cheesy as it sounds, that eat, sleep, train, and play mentality, it does pay off, and you didn't have that luxury before.
Yeah, obviously being at school, you got class in the morning and then practice and then maybe another class at night, so here you kind of get to spend your day and focus on hockey.
How much of an adjustment is that to where you can just kind of, all the fat of life melts away and you just have that razor-like focus on playing the game?
Yeah, you come to the rink and you do what you got to do to be ready for the games and practice, but when you're away from the rink, obviously you're still living life, and yeah. I mean, Mac and I are still kids, so we do fun things outside of the rink and enjoy life.
Yeah, so what is the life outside of the rink? Are you guys playing NHL on PS5? Are you going to see movies, going out and enjoying some of the restaurants here in Santana Row and such? Or
we do everything. I mean, going to dinner, or we're big movie guys on the road, or he'll come over, watch a movie, or basketball, or anything, to be honest.
They just watched Inception the other night for the first time. Have you guys watched that one?
No, we just finished the Kingsman series.
Oh, nice. That's good movies for sure. What's next on the docket for you guys on the movies? Do you have a list?
A little bit. We kind of threw recommendations out there, and then we were a little bit on the Christmas movies and some rom-coms, so
nice.
Funny.
Nice. So what do you think heading into this game against Philadelphia tomorrow night?
I mean, it's a big one. I mean, obviously we're in a little bit of a losing streak here and want to end that, especially because we've had leads in the third and haven't been able to finish those out.
I know you weren't here last year. I'm sure you were paying attention, but one of the talking points has been the team is quote-unquote losing better. Are you just like, BS, Ted, I'm not gonna accept that? Or is that, do you feel like, okay, the team is playing well?
Yeah, that will never be a thing.
Yeah, so I guess, how do you guys all turn the corner to turn these tight games into wins?
Just got to be competitive and need to find a way to close these out. Obviously, like I said, we've had leads, and I don't know how many of the last games we've played, so it's whenever. I don't know who said that, but we're trying to win all these games.
Have guys like a Tyler Toffoli, a Goody, have they come up to you and said, don't focus on the loss, move on? Because, I mean, this is obviously, it's your first time through all this.
Yeah, yes, I know. I mean, it's a long season, so I think we've got, I don't even know how many, probably around 40 games left. So we can still bunch together a bunch of wins here and be competitive.
Nice. Well, I'll let you go, Will. I appreciate your time, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Some great thoughts and perspective from Will Smith. I also spoke with Jan Ruda.
All right, we are here with Jan Ruda of the San Jose Sharks. It is the Monday in between a couple of games, man. First off, how's the holiday season been treating you?
Always great and always short.
Oh, you know, short.
Love Christmas and all the holidays. It's my favorite holiday of the year. So it always flies by pretty quick.
What did you guys do over Christmas?
Just the family. It was the first Christmas with the little one. So just enjoyed it. It was very nice.
Nice, good deal. And then you got the New Year's Eve coming up. The game. Have you played on New Year's Eve? I want to say, did you guys play last year on New Year's Eve? Do you remember?
I think so. I think we played on the road for us, like the New Year's Eve. I don't know. I don't really care about it that much. As I said, I really like Christmas. So I don't really care about not a big fireworks guy.
Yeah.
So I'm more of like Christmas candy and sweet potato salad.
Exactly. Plus, you guys have practice the next day, so you can't go out and get too wild. But so you scored your first goal of the year recently. How frustrating was it for you to not find the back of the net previously? Because obviously you've got a big shot. You've been lined up on that right-hand side a bunch of times. I've seen some good looks get saved by you, get blocked. Was it just nice to finally see one go through?
Yeah, I mean, it's really good for the confidence just to get one through. But, you know, it's a hard league. I'm not an offensive guy. So for me, it's more of like a numbers game. You know, I'm just trying to put as many shots through and, hopefully some goes to the net.
You obviously know what it takes to win in the NHL. How frustrating has it been to see the team be so close in so many of these games as of late and not walk away with a win when all is said and done?
It's something that we definitely have to figure out in the locker room, you know. But like from the last year, I'm really happy because I think we're playing better than last year. I think we're playing well enough to win games. We're in those games. Sometimes we even have the leads, and it's a tough league to win. And you know, you need to learn that as an individual and as a group. You know, for every group, there is a different recipe, and we're obviously looking for ours, but. I think we're trending in the right direction as far as the play most nights. We just gotta figure it out.
Yeah, and in terms of being a leader and being a veteran on this team, do you have to try and temper some of the young guys to tell them not to get too down because you have to quickly forget, move on to the next game?
I mean, I don't think that's the problem with the young guys these days. You know, they're pretty confident. For me, it would be just kind of be a little bit smarter about our game because there's a time and a place to do certain plays. When it's first period, second period, when you're down, but when it's third period and it's you're defending a lead, there's just like certain smarts that you just need to learn, and it's obviously there's some growing pains. As I said, I think we're gonna get better with that. But now it's a little painful.
What has been the message from Coach Borsovsky and the rest of his staff?
Just keep working. You know, even though we have a lot of skill, young skill on the team, we have to keep still playing like hard and work hard. You know, so he's been really diligent about it. We are still a hardworking team.
Yeah. I mean, the team, that's the thing, is it's much different than last year, like you alluded to. This team is in every single game, and it feels like you're about to turn that corner. Does it? I know that's the view from the outside. Is that how it feels on the inside?
Yeah, as I said. There's a really fine line for winning and losing in this league, mm-hmm. Especially like, we were not there last year, but I think we've come a lot closer this year. Is it a certain place when it's in the third period or special teams, everything needs to fall into place. So you start winning. So I think we're every game, we're just lacking one of many aspects, that's why we're coming short. Still learning.
What do you think about this game coming up against Philadelphia tomorrow night?
I mean, even though we played some pretty good hockey, we came short and we didn't get any wins. So it's important for us to start on time. And especially we have a good homestand for the fans. you know, they've been great. They've been showing up in great numbers this season. So just give the fans something to cheer about, not just goals, but also win, you know, so they can go out and celebrate the New Year's Eve.
Nice. Well, Jan, I appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Great insights from Jan Rutta, and that brings us to the end of today's program. We are out of time. I will see you all on the build-up on Thursday afternoon as we get ready for Tampa and the Sharks for the opportunity to get their revenge after the tough loss they took on the road in Tampa last month. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.